We're starting a brand new series today that I'm really excited about because for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about who we are as a church family. And not only that, we're going to talk about who we want to be as a church family. And I want to let you know right up front that I have a couple goals for us over the next few weeks. First, I want to paint a picture for all of us about who we're supposed to be as a church family. And the reason we're gonna talk about this is because it's easy to forget who we're supposed to be. It's easier for us to forget who we are, especially when there are so many voices speaking to us and distracting us. We wanna just kind of focus back in on who we're supposed to be as a church family. It's gonna be like a target on the wall, kind of what we're aiming for. And then my second goal is I want all of us, whether you're online, in the room, or listening later on, all of us who are a part of the Hub City Church family, to kind of figure out where we are in relation to where we need to be and who we need to be. Because you know that you can't get to where you need to be if you don't know where you are, because you don't know what you need to do to get there. And so we're gonna spend a little bit of time talking about who we are and where we are so that we can figure out how to get to where we need to be as a church. And the reason why this is so important is because I don't want us to waste our opportunity. I don't want us to waste the time that God has given us. Over and over again in Paul's letters, he tells us to make the most of our opportunity, to redeem the time. And so that's why we're gonna talk about that. I want us to kind of talk about us. And I think this should be a lot of fun. And I think this is gonna be kind of a time of discovery for some of you. For others of you, this is gonna be a review a little bit. But as I heard someone say one time, most of the time we don't need to learn new things. We just need to be reminded of the things that we learned a while ago and forgot. And so that's kind of what we're going to do. And today, this morning, I want to talk about something that I never heard taught while I was growing up. As many of you know, I grew up in church. I was going to church before I was born. And never one time growing up did I hear taught what I'm going to teach us today. I was never taught this in seminary. Like, that's graduate school in being a Christian, right? I was never taught this in seminary. I didn't even hear this until I was probably 30 years old. And so I, even though I grew up all of my life in church, I never was taught what it is that I want us to talk about today. And if I'm honest, and you'll probably agree with this after we're done today, I kind of wish I had never heard it. Like, I wish nobody ever taught me this stuff. Life would have been easier for me if I hadn't learned what I'm going to teach you today. So I'm just going to mess up all of our lives, if that's okay. And to kind of set the stage for what where we're going to go today, I want to share with you something that I heard Andy Stanley share a few weeks ago. I was listening to him talk, and something that he said right at the beginning of his little sermon really jumped out to me. He said that if you were raised in the church, then you discovered early on that becoming a Christian is easy. Becoming a Christian is easy. Like, think about it. It costs virtually nothing. I mean, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We pray a little prayer. Maybe we walk down the aisle, even though that's optional a lot of times, right? And we put our faith in Jesus. And then, voila, we're Christians, right? It's really pretty simple. We just simply receive this free gift of salvation and forgiveness. And after we do that, we can call ourselves Christians. It's really, really easy. Now, all of that's true, but when you read through the Gospels, the books of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, where we read the words of Jesus, where we see all the miracles of Jesus, where we read kind of the story of Jesus, when you read through those Gospels, you don't read anything about a person becoming a Christian. In fact, you don't read anything from Jesus where he ever invites anyone to become a Christian. In fact, as I think you might know, first century Christians, like the first church, they didn't call themselves Christians. That's what non-Christians called them, or more appropriately, that's what non-Christians accused them of. And they used it in a derogatory way. And the way that they used the term, as we're going to see in just a minute, is this, that Christian was, that they accused them of being one who was associated with Christ, or one who was a little Christ. Now, we might say that these are positive terms, but when this term was first used, this was used negatively. Oh, you're associated with Jesus. Oh, you're just a little Jesus. And the reason they accused them of this is because that these Christians that they were calling Christians, they lived in such a way that was different. They lived in a way that was associated with the way Jesus lived. They didn't live like everybody else in the culture lived. They lived in a different way. Well, it was Luke who is, I hope you know, was a doctor who wrote the Gospel of Luke, did a lot of research and put that book together. And then he wrote the book of Acts. He records for us the first time this term was used, and it was used in the city of Antioch, and it was used by non-Christians to categorize or identify those who were associated with Jesus. Now, I'm going to show you what he says in just a minute, but before we get there, I just want to let you know that what we're going to see is that when Luke tells us how this term was first used, when he shows us the context and how and where this term originated, Luke actually clarifies what the word Christian meant. At least he clarifies what it meant back then. He doesn't necessarily clarify what it means today because we don't define the term the same way today, as we'll see in just a minute. Here's what he writes in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. He says, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, this is very interesting here, I think. And what he says actually invites us to ask a very important question. Notice the word disciples. We've got to ask this question, who were these disciples? Well, these weren't the 12 guys that followed Jesus around. As you know, one of them hung himself, so it couldn't have been those guys. So who were these disciples that he's describing here? Well, it referred to a larger group of people, specifically a larger group of people who referred to themselves as Jesus followers. They were followers of Jesus. And the citizens of Antioch, they called or accused these Jesus followers, these people who lived differently than they lived, these people who followed the teachings of a man named Jesus, whom they also claimed raised from the dead, which was a little out there. They called them, or they accused them in a way by calling them Christians. But the reason they called them Christians was because their lives reflected the fact that they were associated with Jesus, that they lived in a way that reflected the way that Jesus lived. And they were called Christians, but they were Christians because they were Jesus followers. Go back to that one for just a minute. Jesus followers, Trey. I jumped ahead, sorry. Now, when you think about this, we don't define being a Christian this way a lot of times. Now, we might say, sure, we do, but when we think about the implications, as we're going to talk about in just a minute, we actually define being a Christian completely different. And the way we define being a Christian actually kind of shows us why it's so easy to be a Christian. Because when you boil it down, now you can change, Trey, sorry. Being a Christian is all about believing, that we believe the right things about Jesus, that we have this mental or this intellectual assent about some things about Jesus. Basically, it boils down to that we believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead, which is important, right? We would all agree that that is important. But being a Jesus follower, that's a lot different than just believing, right? Being a Jesus follower is a lot more different. See, we can't follow Jesus and just change what we believe. To be a Jesus follower means that we have to change how we live, that we live in a different way, that we live in a way that's associated with the way that Jesus lived. So while most of us would feel comfortable claiming the title Christian, in fact, if someone were to ask you, are you a Christian? Most of us who are in the room or who are listening online, you would say, yes, I am a Christian. But the real question is not, are you a Christian? The real question is, are you a Jesus follower? Are you a Jesus follower? See, that is, are we following or are we simply believing in? Are we following his example or are we just doing our best to be a good example? To be honest, that's a question we'd rather not think through because, like I said, being a Christian, just believing, that's easy. That's the easy part. But being a follower of Jesus, that's costly. In fact, Jesus said it this way. Look at Luke 9:23. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. I want to talk through this for just a minute. I want us to think about what Jesus says here. Notice he begins by using the word whoever. See, Jesus' invitation is to whoever. It's not just to a select few. It's not just to the Jews. It's not just to those who have their act together. It's not just to those who are just like him. It's to whoever. It's good news for all of us in this room because we're part of that whoever. And those people that you don't like, that you don't think should be in, they're part of whoever. Whoever involves everyone who has ever lived on the face of this planet, whether we like them or they're like us or not. That's who Jesus extends this invitation to. Whoever wants to be my disciple. That's so important, that word. It's an invitation to be a disciple. Notice, it's not an invitation to be a Christian. Jesus doesn't say, whoever wants to be a Christian. He says, whoever wants to be a disciple. And then he lists out the implications of what it means to be a disciple. Notice what they are. They're a little costly. We would prefer if Jesus would not have said this, right? He says, whoever wants to be a disciple must deny themselves. We're terrible at that as Americans, right? I mean, we don't want to deny ourselves. That's why we're all overweight. And, you know, Matthew told me how fat I was on vacation. You know, it's like, it's because we would prefer not to deny ourselves, right? We don't like that. And then he goes on to say being a disciple involves taking up our cross daily. Now think about what that means. That really literally means that we have to die to ourselves. It's not just about denying ourselves. It's about dying to ourselves, dying to our wishes, dying to our wants, dying to our ambitions, putting those to death. Everything that we want to do, it's about laying that down to do what he wants us to do. And then being a disciple involves following him. And we've talked about that over and over again because following him involves imitating him, living his life that we're doing our lives in a way that imitates his way of living or that's living the life that he would live if he were living our life. Now, like I told you, when I was growing up in church, I heard a lot about becoming a Christian. I heard invitations to become a Christian, and they all involved just believing for the most part. But I never heard anything about being a Jesus follower. And I think many of you in the room or online had similar experiences. Now, pause for just a minute, just so that you know I'm not making this up, I'm not being heretical. I just want to challenge you to do a little research on your own. I just want you to Google or pick up a concordance or look up an online concordance and just Google, look that up and ask how many times the word Christian is used in the Gospels. Not the New Testament, just the Gospels, because that's where Jesus is talking, right? Do you know what you'll discover if you Google that? The word Christian is used 0 times in the Gospels. Interestingly, it's only used 3 times in the rest of the New Testament, but 0 times in the Gospels. And then I want you to do a little research, and I want you to look up how many times Jesus invites people to follow him or talks about following him in the Gospels. You know what you'll discover? You'll discover that Jesus talks about following him 23 times in the Gospels. 23 times. Now, I know you can't read this from the room, but I put these verses in your notes so that you can go back and look these up so that you don't just take my word for it. But what I want us to kind of notice from this is that throughout the Gospels, Jesus' invitation to whoever, it's not to believe only, but to follow, to be his follower, to do more than just believe. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a Jesus follower? Well, over the next few weeks, we're gonna kind of answer that question because that's at the core of who we are as a church. I'm gonna say in just a minute, I want us not just to be a church of Christians. I want us to be a church of Jesus followers. And so we're gonna look at that kind of idea from a bunch of different angles over the next few weeks. But today, I want us to think about it maybe from this perspective. We've talked about this before, but I want us to think about being a Jesus follower in terms of the 3 B's. The 3 B's, believe, behave, and belong. Believe, behave, and belong. The reason I want to start there is because this is easy for us to kind of remember. And like I said, being a Christian is all about believing, right? And following Jesus, it involves believing, but it doesn't just end with believing. See, I think we can become a Christian and just stop with belief. And the reason why I know that is because I know so many people who call themselves Christians, but they don't look at all like Jesus. Like they're meaner now than they were when they walked the aisle in Vacation Bible School when they were 8, right? And if you were to look for qualities of Jesus, like loving your neighbor as yourself or loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'd be like, I can't see it in this person's life. Why? They believe, but they haven't done anything else. They've just stopped there. See, following Jesus involves more than just believing. Believing is easy, right? Believing is easy. Following is difficult. And I would rather stop with believing because that would be a lot easier for me. But being a Jesus follower involves more than just believing. Following Jesus also involves a change in our behavior, a change in our behavior, not in a legalistic way, but living differently in light of what we believe, living differently in light of who it is that we're following. Like as Jamie said last week, that we are accepted just as we are. That's one of the things we love about Hub City. We're accepted just as we are, but we can't stay that way. And if we're staying that way, we're probably not following Jesus. We're probably just believing in Jesus. And so God, in case you didn't know, God actually wants to change us. He wants to change you. You are not the person that he wants you to be yet. Sure, he loves you and he accepts you where you are, but you are not the person that he wants you to be yet. He wants to change you, and he wants you to live differently as a Jesus follower. He wants your behavior and your actions to reflect and to look like Jesus's behavior and actions. Like I said earlier, that we would live the life Jesus would live if Jesus were living our life. So following Jesus involves believing, but it also involves behaving in a certain way, that our behavior is different because we're following him. But it also involves belonging, that we belong to a new family. It's one of the great things about being a Christian is that we are now adopted into the family of God. We are no longer just a servant of God, even though we are. We're no longer just a subject to the king. We are now sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. We're adopted into this new family. And here's what's amazing about belonging. I mean, think about this for just a minute. Belonging, where we belong to a community, that's where we learn to behave. See, it is only in community where we can learn how to behave as followers of Jesus. It's only in community where we can practice what it means to do all of the 52 one another's that are found throughout the New Testament, like forgive one another and love one another and serve one another and submit to one another, all those things. We can't do those by ourselves. We can only do those in community where we're belonging with one another. And one of the great things about being a part of this church family is that we can practice our behaviors in a safe context before we go out into the world and try and live out our behaviors. So following Jesus, it involves believing, behaving, and belonging. And I'll just say this as well. A lot of times, people who aren't yet followers of Jesus won't get to a place where they believe until they spend a little bit of time belonging with us. That's exactly what happened with the disciples for just a minute, if you think about it for just a minute. The disciples, when Jesus invited them to follow him, none of them believed that he was the Messiah. None of them knew that he was going to die on the cross and raise from the dead. He hadn't told them yet. They just followed him as a disciple. But as they hung out with Jesus, they became believers along the way. Some of them didn't become believers until after he rose from the dead, right? And so we, a lot of times, we want people to believe first, but man, maybe they need to belong a little bit before they can believe, but that's a whole nother sermon. So let's get back to what we're talking about. I want to leave you with a question. Since being a follower of Jesus involves believing, behaving, and belonging, the question I want us to deal or answer ourselves today is, are you a Jesus follower or are you just a Christian? Now, it's easy just to read through this question real fast and to go, well, of course I'm a Jesus follower. I'm not just a Christian. But do a little self-assessment. Are you following Jesus in every area of your life, with your finances, with your family, at work, how you treat people that don't believe or vote like you, online, wherever you find yourself, at the grocery store, are you following Jesus or are you just believing in Jesus? Are you a Jesus follower or are you just a Christian? Now, I know that some of you, when you look at this question, you might say, well, I'm neither. Well, the invitation that Jesus extended to his disciples in Luke 9, he extends to all of us, to whoever. He invites all of us to be his followers, even if we're not yet to the point of believing the way he wants us to believe. So, who are we? Who are we as the Hub City Church family? Let me just reiterate, I don't just want us to be a group of Christians. We've had too many churches filled with just Christians. But we have very few churches that are filled with just Jesus followers. And I want us to be a church that's filled with Jesus followers. See, it's easy to be a Christian, but it's not all that biblical. And it's not what Jesus invites us to become. Jesus instead invites us to become a follower. And we want to do what Jesus wants us to do. So here's my homework assignment for you this week. It's real simple, but it's going to take a little bit of thought, a little bit of time. I want you to spend some time answering this question. And I don't want you to rush through it. Because the temptation would be to be like, oh, sure, I'm a Jesus follower, and here's why. But I want you to think through your life. This is actually, this was a very convicting question for me to think through this week. Very convicting for me. And I'm a professional Christian, right? Very convicting. Because there are areas of my life where I would prefer not to be a Jesus follower because it's too costly. Practical example. I hate these things, okay? I do. But in light of the world that we live in light of our call to be respectful and wise, I've had to humble myself and wear one of these when I go to the grocery store, and wear one of these this morning when I'm talking to you, and wear one of these whenever I'm out in public. My wife's been telling me to do it for weeks. Months. Thanks for the correction. More humiliation and humbling. But the truth is, I think about myself more than I should, and you probably think about yourself more than you should as well. And that's why it's so easy for us just to believe, because I can believe in Jesus and not do anything with it. Because I believe and everything's good, right? But Jesus doesn't invite us to just believe. He invites us to follow. So don't rush with your answer. Think through. If someone were to accuse you of being a Jesus follower, like they accused the people in Antioch by calling them Christians, would they label you as categorize you as someone who is associated with Jesus? Would they accuse you of being someone whose life reflects the life of Jesus? That you love people unconditionally, that you are over the top gracious with people, that you forgive when you shouldn't, that you're generous to a fault? Would they accuse you of that? Don't rush by your answer, but spend some time thinking through it and then share it with somebody. Share it with somebody, loved one. I encourage you not to share it on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Actually, that'd be really exciting if you did a little dance to share your answer. That'd be pretty cool. I'm not on TikTok, by the way. But I didn't even know what it was till my kids showed me. But don't rush by your answer. I'm going to invite Gary up. He's going to lead us in a song before I pray. But I just want, as he's coming up, I just want you to kind of close your eyes, bow your head for just a minute. And I want you to start thinking through this question. Are you a Jesus follower, or are you just a Christian? Maybe you could ask God that question. God, how would you answer that for me? God, am I really a Jesus follower, or am I just a Christian? Maybe ask him to point out those areas in your life where you're not a Jesus follower. Because the temptation is to be like, oh, I'm good in certain areas, but there are other areas where you're like off limits, Jesus. Spend a little bit of time asking him. Heavenly Father, Honestly, as I've told you this week, it would be so much easier if all we had to do was just believe. We didn't have to live any different. We could just do whatever we wanted to. But as we see throughout the gospel, specifically in that verse out of Luke 9, your call, your invitation to us is not to just believe. Your invitation to us is to be your disciple, which means that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow you. And so many times we don't live that way. We settle for becoming a Christian and just believing the right things instead of living lives that show that we are associated with you. And my prayer for us as a church family, I mean, really, I pray for this for all Christians, but specifically, I just want to pray for the Hub City Church family, is that you would convict us of those areas where we are not following you, where we are settling for just believing in you, that you would lead us to repentance, and that we really would be a community of Jesus followers. And people would accuse us of that, that they would, I'm even cool with them looking down on us because we are associated with you, not because we have a certain political belief or because we are pro-mask or anti-mask, but we're that because we're associated with you. That's my prayer for us, that would be us as a church family. And Lord, I want to pray for anybody who's in the room or who's listening online who has yet to surrender their life to you and yet to become your follower. Would you give them the faith and the courage to take a step in your direction? Give them the faith and the courage to follow. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.